Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Tuesday, May 26th, 2026, and this is episode 407. We are covering the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, May 25th.
We have a really fascinating lineup today. The Vatican just dropped a massive, historic document on artificial intelligence. George Hotz is declaring the era of the eternal slop timber. California is walking back a controversial law that would have forced Linux to collect your age. And we are looking at the great search engine exodus, now that Google is going all in on AI overviews.
Let us start with a story that actually took up two of the top spots on Hacker News yesterday. Pope Leo XIV released his first encyclical, titled Magnifica Humanitas. It is an 83-page manifesto entirely focused on artificial intelligence.
The direct link to the Vatican website got over 1,300 points, and a religion news article covering the release got another 300. It is a really profound document. The Pope is basically framing AI as the new industrial revolution. He is calling for humanity to disarm AI, and by that he does not mean getting rid of it, but removing it from this hyper-competitive military and economic race that concentrates power in the hands of a few tech billionaires.
What is wild is who was standing right there with him at the Vatican presentation, Chris Ola, the co-founder of Anthropic. Anthropic has been pushing this safety-oriented brand for a while, and having Ola there really grounds this in the current Silicon Valley reality. The Pope specifically called out philosophies like transhumanism, saying humanity flourishes through our limitations, not by erasing them with technology. He warned that AI amplifies the power of those who already possess economic resources and data, which undermines social justice.
He even made a historic apology. He reflected on how the church was slow to fully denounce slavery until the 19th century, and he connected that to the modern exploitation we see behind AI today, from the models training on copyrighted material without permission, to the extraction of rare minerals, and the unseen labor forces categorizing data.
The Hacker News comments on this were incredibly thoughtful. A user named HNThrowaway99 asked a really poignant question. They asked if there has ever been an instance in history where society successfully tamed a technology for the broader good, rather than just being at the whims of how that tech naturally concentrates power.
Right. And the responses brought up some great historical parallels. Someone mentioned electricity. Back around 1900, electric utilities were becoming incredibly powerful monopolies. Men like Samuel Insull were building massive empires. But society stepped in. Through antitrust laws, the Utility Company Holding Act, and heavy regulation following financial disasters, electric utilities just became background infrastructure. They did not end up ruling the world.
Exactly, Sarah. It gives a little bit of hope that maybe we can do the same with AI models. Another commenter pointed out that even with the Industrial Revolution, which was the subject of an 1891 encyclical that inspired this new one, we eventually got labor laws, weekends, and safety standards. We might eventually reach a point where standardized AI is just a regulated commodity, not a world-dominating force.
Speaking of AI dominating the world, or maybe failing to do so, let us talk about George Hotz. Geo Hot published a blog post yesterday titled The Eternal Slop Timber, and it got almost 450 points.
This is a classic Geo Hot rant, but he makes a really compelling point. He's calling it right now that adopting AI agents into software development is going to be one of the most costly mistakes in the industry's history. He spent the last 6 months really trying to use agents to write code for his projects, like the TinyGrad framework, and he came to the conclusion that agents simply cannot program.
He actually admitted he initially bought into the Twitter explanation of status anxiety. He thought maybe he was just being defensive about his own coding abilities, trying to protect his ego because a machine could do math better than him. But after reverse engineering a PCIe chip with agents, he realized it wasn't his ego. The tools actually just fail at the final polish.
He describes them as highly sophisticated statistical models designed to mimic the distribution of programming. So the output looks like code, but it is fundamentally broken in ways that are getting harder and harder to detect. He compares using an AI agent to pulling a slot machine lever. The agent front-loads all the progress, makes it look like it's almost done, and then you just keep pulling the lever hoping it gets the polish right. It never quite gets there.
The phrase eternal slop timber is a play on the old internet concept of the eternal September from the Usenet days, but applied to code quality.
George argues that high-performing engineers can error-correct. They know when slop is slop. But in large organizations with slow feedback loops, average or junior developers are using these agents to produce 10 times their normal output, and that output is just buckets and buckets of slop.
He poses a great rhetorical question. He mentions that Apple is pushing AI on all their engineers right now and asks, "Do you think macOS will get better or worse in the next 2 years?" He says we are entering a golden era for slop and a dark age for gems of quality.
What is really interesting is that he admits he is now in the Yann LeCun and Gary Marcus camp regarding large language models. He does not think LLMs will ever truly program because they lack world models. They do not understand what they are doing. They just comment out a failing test and tell you the tests are now passing.
It is a stark contrast to the massive hype we see everywhere else. Geohot says the real story of this era will be who manages to avoid harming themselves in their AI psychosis. It is a harsh take, but a lot of the Hacker News commenters were nodding along, sharing their own frustrations with spending more time reviewing AI-generated spaghetti code than it would have taken to just write it themselves.
Moving from code quality to tech policy, let us look at what is happening in California. A few months ago, California lawmakers proposed the Digital Age Assurance Act, Assembly Bill 1856. This would have forced operating systems to verify the age of users during account setup.
Which, if you know anything about open source software, is completely absurd. The open source community, specifically Linux and SteamOS developers, absolutely lost their minds over this. How do you force a decentralized project like Debian or Arch Linux to collect and verify user ages? Think about SteamOS, which powers the Steam Deck. Valve would have had to build a government identity verification system right into the boot process of a handheld gaming console.
The backlash was so severe that the very same lawmaker who wrote the original law has now proposed an amendment to exempt open source operating systems. The amendment basically says the rule does not apply to software distributed under licenses that allow users to copy, redistribute, and modify the software. So Linux distributions are off the hook before the law takes effect in January 2027.
The Hacker News thread on this was super active, with over 700 points and 300 comments. A lot of the discussion was about how lawmakers just fundamentally do not understand technology. But there were also some really interesting technical proposals for how you could actually protect kids online without invading privacy at the operating system level.
Yeah, a user named Bender had a fantastic comment. They suggested that instead of device-level mandates, default web browsers should just check if parental controls are enabled on the local user account. If they are, the browser looks for an RTA header, which stands for Restricted to Adults. If a site has that header, the browser blocks it or prompts for a parental password.
It's such an elegant solution. The burden goes on the websites to self-report adult content via a simple HTTP header, and the browser handles the enforcement locally. No centralized identity tracking, no uploading your driver's license to Microsoft or Canonical.
Another user named coded.code expanded on it, saying the default should be that if there is no header, the content is assumed unsafe for kids. So millions of regular site operators do not have to spend a dime or change any code. Only sites that actively want to be accessible to minors would need to add the safe header.
But as another commenter pointed out, assuming lawmakers will adopt a sensible technical standard is pretty optimistic. We all remember how the European cookie consent laws turned the internet into a nightmare of pop-ups instead of just using browser-level do not track settings. It is the classic disconnect between engineers and politicians. But at least for now, the Linux desktop is safe from the age verification police.
Finally, today, let us talk about search. TechCrunch ran an article that got over 500 points titled, "Six Search Engines Worth Trying Now That Google Is Not Really Google Anymore."
This is direct fallout from the Google I/O keynote last week. Google announced they are overhauling search to be entirely AI-driven. Even if you don't want to use AI mode, you are probably going to get an AI overview at the top of your results, complete with a chat box. They are calling it the biggest upgrade in 25 years, but a lot of users are absolutely hating it.
Remember the whole fiasco where Google's AI told people to stare into the sun or put glue on their pizza? People are tired of it. The TechCrunch article highlights that this is the perfect time to switch, and the Hacker News community has been leading this charge for a while now.
Kagi is obviously the darling of Hacker News right now.
It's a paid search engine, $5 to $10 a month, completely ad-free, and you can totally customize your results. If you want AI summaries, Kagi has them, but they are strictly opt-in. You are the customer, not the product.
Then there's the classic DuckDuckGo, which is still free and privacy-focused, and StartPage, which just acts as a privacy proxy for Google results. TechCrunch also mentioned Brave Search, which has this really cool feature called Goggles. You can apply community-made filters to your search. There's one specifically for Hacker News that prioritizes domains popular on HN. And there's another one literally called No Pinterest, which just strips out all the Pinterest spam from image searches.
That No Pinterest filter alone is worth the switch. But my absolute favorite hack mentioned in the article is the UDM14 trick.
Oh man, the UDM14 parameter is legendary. If you just append ampersand UDM equals 14 to your Google search URL, it completely strips out the AI overview and gives you the classic 10 blue links. Someone even built a wrapper site called udm14.com that just does it for you automatically.
It is so funny that we have to actively hack the world's biggest search engine just to get a normal list of websites. Between Brave Search, Ecosia, and Kagi, it really feels like the monopoly Google has had on our internet habits is starting to fracture. People are willing to pay for search or change their default browsers just to escape the AI slop, to borrow GeoHot's phrase.
It all ties together perfectly today. We have the Pope warning about big tech monopolies forcing AI on us, developers drowning in AI-generated code slop, and everyday users abandoning Google search because the AI features are making the core product worse. It really feels like 2026 is the year the AI honeymoon phase officially ended and the reality check began.
That is a great way to put it, Sarah. And that is all we have for you today on HN Pod. Thank you so much for joining us as we unpacked yesterday's top stories.
We will be back tomorrow with more deep dives into the front page of Hacker News. Until then, keep hacking and maybe try out a new search engine today. See you tomorrow.